Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about the latest news and Kevin Love's comments really on the second proposed bubble involving the Cavs and the other not good teams, well, seven bad teams plus the Warriors. And then we're also going to talk about the kind of first opening day of the playoffs and kind of our initial takeaways and some stuff and kind of where we think the Cavs and why they'd want to factor into this kind of going forward. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University. Cleveland! This is for you!
Evan, we're day one into the bubble playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, 1:30 tip.
Sure.
You know, it's interesting just seeing the court is all the same for all these teams and stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, any kind of initial takeaways on what watching this has been like?
Two things. The Nuggets are a lot of fun to watch, and I think Nikola Jokic is going to exploit and make Rudy Gobert look really bad going forward. And
Gobert had some really good plays in that game, though.
He did, but I really like how Jokic looked. Jamal Murray was incredible. Donovan Mitchell was a lot of fun. Colin Sexton's going to look just like him someday, Chris. I'm gearing you up for this discussion.
Okay, let's just get into this discussion then, because look, there's not an advanced numbers case. There's a raw per game
Listen,
case.
Real hoopers know. So there's my argument. So keep going.
Okay, but there's people that listen to our podcast. Shouts to Michael Young. Shouts to some others that are like, there is a difference in what Sexton and Mitchell are doing. Okay, so Mitchell is a little bigger, has a little more weight. He's a more patient player. And I'm sorry, but like I have no idea. And I know they lost, and I know like he had an 8-second call that kind of cost them late. But this is Donovan Mitchell in the overtime, their 135-125 loss to the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Scored the third most points ever in a playoff game. 57, 19-33 from the field, 6-15 from three, 13-13, a perfect 13-13 from the line to go along with 7 assists, 9 boards. Okay, he was fantastic. They lose, obviously, but like, it is completely like I understand that like we want to be pro Colin Sexton. We actually, according to what some people think, like I really think Colin's good and interesting and all of these things. There are just part. This is a level that like I'm sorry, you'd be talking out of your ass if you really think it's a lock that he could do that, because what Donovan Mitchell did in this opening game is like your guy kind of stuff, and we don't exactly know if Colin's there, and I think there are some differences between them in terms of how they play. It make me a little unsure that Colin would have this in him. But my broader point is that like this kind of game with guys, the homegrown guys like Murray and Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. making his playoff debut and Mitchell, and you know, wanting to throw Gobert and other stuff in there. This is the kind of point the Cavs really want to, I think, would be really interesting to get to, because they've never had a team like this, I think, arguably in our lifetime. You know, the last example of this would be the team we've talked about a lot in the Vintage Cavs series, with that kind of homegrown, kind of slowly growing kind of group. First LeBron era is like LeBron, and then like they just kind of piece it together around him. There's not like another draft piece that they paired with him to kind of build that team. And then if you look at the second time, it's like Kyrie was that, and he got validated in the biggest way possible, I think, by those. And that's something we all kind of wanted to see happen, I think. But it is different because LeBron is there. And I think it'd be really interesting to get to a point where, like, the Cavs are, even if they're, like, a Netsy team and we get to see Sexton do, like, Caris LeVert stuff, I think that would be quite fascinating to see. And that is kind of the goal, I think, of where you want to get to for the Cavs as a franchise, is be at least that kind of team and not just, like, an outright dumpster fire for 2 years in a row.
Yeah, no, they really are. And the problem with that is two things there's the problem with here. I don't think that realistically the Cavs can ever be that, because Dan Gilbert is too impatient of a person to let a rebuild truly marinate and grow like even like a Boston who has a bunch of homegrown talent, and they, you know, add star talent players where they traded for Kyrie and they took advantage of Michael Jordan being cheap and signing and trading for Kemba Walker, even if he has a bulky knee, and just a bunch of other small, smart things the Celtics have, not small, but major things the Celtics have done to put themselves in a position where they're going to be a consistent threat for the foreseeable future. The Jazz are another good example of that. Portland is a good example of that. Denver, the team the Jazz were playing, is a great example of that. But I just don't think that's realistic for the Cavs, because Dan Gilbert's white whale first was to hire a college coach to coach this team. That didn't work with John Boeheim. And now his other white whale is to try and make the playoffs without LeBron. And damn it, he's going to try his hardest to do so. And Chris, and you and I both heard this, that this season this Cavs team is going to avidly try to make the playoffs because Dan is pressuring Kobe Altman and the Cavs front office to do so. And I mean, I get it, it's not realistic, but this team is going to be teetering on dumpster fire because I just don't think they're going to be able to build sustainable success. They don't really take advantage of their G League development or look at prospects that maybe were overlooked or underdeveloped and underutilized. They don't really have, I mean, JB Bickerstaff is a better coach than John Boeheim, I think, but maybe not for the player development aspect of things. There's a lot of just...
Yeah, that's the concern of him coming out of Memphis was really his working with young guys. That was kind of the one knock I've heard from all the Grizzlies people and the coverage of him in that sense.
Yeah.
Apologies for the noise there.
No, it's okay. It's all good, man. But, yeah, no, that was the one concern. I guess, to be fair to JB, though, he was an interim coach in Memphis, and he wasn't the permanent coach like he is in Cleveland. So we have seen in the limited time, I think it's 8 games. No. Yeah, 8 or 9 games JB coached this Cavs team. He is kind of getting weird with it. He's trying funky things. Like he said, he wanted to play Kevin Porter Jr. at the point guard spot. He wants to do weird stuff like that. But I think with the added job security, he's allowed to do that and not really prioritize winning. But with the added pressure of what Dan's applying to this team this year, it just doesn't really make that realistic. But to your other point, again, you can take all your nerd shit, your numbers, and shove it. Real hoopers know that Colin Sexton, Evan, if he was put in Utah, the same situation as Donovan Mitchell, people would be singing his praises so much so. Real hoopers know, and friend of me, the pod, Justin Rowan, I know you're listening because you'll tell me when
Fox
I give you shout-outs.
Friends of Cavs Twitter. That's really mean of me, Justin. I'm not going to apologize to you like in a tweet or anything, but that was really rude of me.
Oh, don't worry. I'll call you out on it while you're talking. Just maybe I will, maybe I won't, but this will give you an idea, folks, when we're recording right now. But I like to think Colin has a sky high potential because he surpassed all of my expectations and then some. And if he, I say a little bit tongue in cheek that he could be the next Donovan Mitchell, but that's like an archetype that maybe he could strive for. The playmaking isn't there, the defense is certainly not there at all, but Sexton can do everything but score with a floater. And you talked about this in Fear the Sword a little bit, where he has just like, he looks spastic. It's not a politically correct term to use.
It's not like, it's like he doesn't have like a middle gear. Like Donovan Mitchell has like a middle gear where he can like,
that's the next step though, and then you'll get
But it's like it's not like in his DNA as a player, and that's like fine, but it's just like his DNA is 100 miles an hour.
That is, and I think that's part of the next step for Colin is, one, tapping into that massive wingspan of his. You really don't realize how wide his wingspan is until you see it in person and face-to-face, because you just think since he's such an undersized guard to begin with.
I think in another life, he's like an all-pro cornerback.
Oh, for sure. I wonder what he played in high school, like football.
I don't
know
if he played football, because there's like not a lot of, this is a rabbit hole we shouldn't go down, but there's not a lot of like cross-sport playing anymore. There's just not. It's just the way that we're, as a society, do sports. It's like you play one sport and you specialize at a young age, which is actually proven to be kind of bad for your development. But
yeah, it is if you have actual pro ambitions. But I don't know what kind of recruit Colin was coming out of high school in Alabama and everything. But that's, yeah, this is a rabbit hole we could go down. But I just don't think it's actually possible for the Cavs unless they lay down the infrastructure and have an owner that is patient and willing to not rush into the playoffs. And you know, the biggest thing here is if, let's say, the Cavs are better next year, they lose out on a top five pick. Next year's draft class has a lot of players that pique my interest. It would help the Cavs so much in a lot of the things they need and things that Chris and I have been discussing for the last few weeks, that it just seems so counterintuitive and frustrating that the Cavs are just going to be in the same position in a few years, and maybe they take a long look and realize maybe we shouldn't try to rush this and let this be a slow burn instead of like a faster thing, because again, the Cavs don't have a guy like a Zion or a Luka or even a Trey to get them to that point, so they need to go about this a lot more slowly and a lot more patiently.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that. I would also just say, I think like there are, you sometimes do have guys, and not every guy does this, the guys that do this are very rare. Mm-hmm. I don't believe like Mitchell would have been this guy. And I think we should actually just talk, we're gonna do a segment on the bubble, but we'll do it at the end. We're gonna talk about infrastructure, I think, next, just because it's infrastructure week, I guess. But that's a joke for you political heads out there. But
I got it.
Evan, did you?
I got it.
Okay, that makes me happy. But I think it's fair to say that Colin is not gonna be a guy who's gonna like bend the circumstances to him, and that is fine. There are, again, like LeBron does that, Giannis ultimately has done that. Mm-hmm. Kawhi, like, I don't even think did that, although he does it now. Like, there are not a ton of guys that like really bend situations and drag them to their will.
Yeah,
but can I think that where he goes other than that is really interesting. But Evan, let's, you know what could help Colin if he needs like a really good heavy protein meal as he's doing like a film session, especially right now in quarantine, and as if he wants to be safe, you know what could help him?
Our friends at DoorDash.
Yeah, that's darn right. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the United States, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. That Cheesecake Factory, an NBA favorite, for instance, Mo Williams, a regular at the Westlake Cheesecake Factory during his time in Cleveland.
Baker Mayfield.
DoorDash deliveries. What?
Baker Mayfield favorite, too. Go ahead.
Okay, we're going to go by that. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities cooperative and safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, we're back right after this with Infrastructure Week. Okay, Evan, so I think there is a really good point that we probably haven't discussed enough in thinking about Colin Sexton, that the infrastructure for him, for Garland, for KPJ, like, it's not like the Cavs were setting themselves, those guys up to come in and actually be in a good situation right away.
No.
I'm going to pull this up while we're talking just so I can kind of offer some context on that the first year, like, Donovan Mitchell was in the league.
I mean, he came to a good Jazz squad. There's not really...
Right, but it's the post Gordon Hayward thing, obviously. So we kind of stepped right in, but like, it's not as if the like last year's Cavs team was set up to be that for Colin Sexton. Although the Cavs publicly were like, "Yeah, we're gonna compete for the playoffs," mm-hmm. even though that was a bunch of crap.
No, it really was. And before I get going again, big shout out to DoorDash and congratulations to them for becoming the NBA's official delivery partner. And the fact that they're both pushing to support Black-owned restaurants amidst the pandemic is super cool. But yeah, no, Donovan was put into a really advantageous situation. Like you said, it was the post-Hayward Jazz, so they were kind of teetering a little bit, but they lucked out in the fact that they were able to get the quote-unquote guy. But they had Rudy Gobert there. They had established pieces. Quinn Snyder looks like he could murder you in a moment's notice.
He looks like a Bond villain.
He just looks like he doesn't know how to have fun, and when I see him smile, it makes me nervous.
And they have guys like Alex Jensen's a well-regarded assistant on staff, etc.
Alex Jensen's a really good coach. They have just a really good... Utah's boring, and I like to dunk on Jazz fans. Like, not boring in the sense like that, but like they're just so consistently great, like on a year-to-year basis. They're not Spurs-level consistency, where the Spurs are winning titles, because I'm sure, as everyone knows, the Jazz have never won a title. Sorry, David Locke, if you're listening right now. But the Jazz are also, like, the... Toronto is a recent example as well, and the Spurs are always like the grand example. But if you want to have consistent success on a year-to-year basis where you are consistently making the playoffs, you are churning out all-star level talent or star-level talent or just really good talent, because, I mean, if you just think about it, I mean, Deron Williams played for the Jazz, Derek Favors played for the Jazz, Gordon Hayward played for the Jazz, and now Donovan Mitchell's the new guy for the Jazz, and I mean, I joke about it, like Wash shooting guards from Utah somehow end up in Cleveland, but Don's not going to be one of those guys. The Jazz are just really...
They got Dante Exum, though.
I guess that's true. Dante, it was like Dante, and then it was Alec Burks, and then it was Rodney Hood. Rodney Hood I had a lot of hope for, but was not Rodney good in the playoffs, and that bummed me out. But jumping ship back to this, Donovan got put in an advantageous situation. Like, he was going to be a good player. I'm pretty sure the consensus was he was going to be a solid player coming out of Louisville, because I think he was either a sophomore or a junior coming out of Louisville. So you kind of knew what he was going to be, and they didn't think there was much room for growth. But Utah is a good organization. They're amazing at player development because, also Gordon Hayward came from a very small Butler program coached by Brad Stevens at the time. Like, wasn't well-renowned yet for, like, its talent. It was like Gordon Hayward and Sheldon Mack are the two players I always think of Butler stars, or quote-unquote star Butler players that made it to the NBA. But it's just... Colin and Kevin and Dylan and Darius and Jetty as well. I'm just thinking of the key young guys. And then this upcoming rookie in this year's draft class, like, they aren't really being put in an advantageous situation because the Cavs are still stuck at a crossroads between wanting to contend for the playoffs with the lingering pieces from the LeBron era and Kevin Love being the focal point there. And then, like, there's Tristan Thompson the Cavs could bring back. And then trading for Andre Drummond.
And you trade for Andre Drummond, yeah. Who has his own expectations and is, like, in the prime of his career.
Yeah, like, the Cavs are trying to pursue that direction. But they are also consistently picking in the top five in the draft the last 2 years of their own pick, and then eighth overall at the Brooklyn pick the summer LeBron leaves. You got to pick a direction and just stick with it. You can't just toe with this line. I get it. Like, you can't bottom out like Philly did, because in a city like Cleveland, where the Cavs play third fiddle to the Browns, they play third fiddle to the Indians, it's tough to stay relevant, and it's tough to stay important when LeBron isn't in town. So I get, like, you're trying to be relevant, but at the same time, you're going about it in such a backwards way by...
I have a way they could fix that, but, but that involves, like, interacting with the media.
Acquiring a stable of big men, especially big men that don't really fit today's NBA model, where Andre Drummond is trying to fit that model now, it's just so counterintuitive to the design, where, like, the Cavs are so weak on the perimeter in terms of wing defense and versatile players, and, like, there's so many bad things about this Cavs team that they need to embrace just being bad and slowly acquiring talent from the draft. And, again, next year's draft class has a lot of good players at the top, Cade Cunningham being the star jewel of this draft class. If Cade Cunningham could land with Cleveland, I could firmly say, okay, yeah, no, they have the guy. Like, I don't really get very high on high school hype tapes. Like, Ben Simmons did a lot for me, and I was wrong on Andrew Wiggins, but Cade Cunningham gives me a lot of Ben Simmons vibes, and I feel like Cade Cunningham is a very safe bet for being a franchise-altering talent, which is something, as much as we like Kevin Porter, as much as we like Colin Sexton, as much as we like Darius Garland, isn't what Cleveland has yet.
Yeah. So, I'm looking at this Jazz roster, and basically, like, Donovan Mitchell comes in and is immediately, like, the third best guy on the team. Uh-huh. That's pretty darn impressive. But he has Gobert, he has Ricky Rubio.
I forgot they had Rubio at the time, too. Such a good pair with the young team. Look at Phoenix. You add Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, like, just having a guy who knows how to move the ball and stuff. You know, Joe Ingles is on that team. Derek Favors. You know, Royce O'Neal, it's kind of his age 24 season. Like, Dante Exum is, like, an average. Like, so, like, for context, Dante Exum, according to Vorp, you know, he plays in only 14 games, but he's, like, the 15th best guy in the team. And basically, like, the Jazz have, like, a lot of just, like, solid guys. This was, like, the peak Ekpe Udo kind of year. Like, he was pretty good this year, if I remember correctly. Like, they just have stuff in a way that the Cavs didn't. If you want, like, the Cavs, Kevin Love, Colin Sexton had Kevin Love for, like, 2 minutes, you know, his rookie year. Like, Clarkson was never a good fit with him. You know, George Hill was there for a little bit. Like, nothing with that really worked. And they didn't, like, even supplement him. Like I would have just played Channing a lot more that year just to give him pick-and-pop reps.
Yeah.
I never quite understood why you wouldn't just have Channing play if he was going to be there just to, like, help Colin kind of do some stuff. Maybe, like, that's the Colin decision. I don't know if there's an organizational mandate, but that never quite made sense to me. And if you're looking at Cade Cunningham, like, you basically have this year to kind of set up. If he's going to be your guy and you want to, like, go right away, you have a year to try to make your setup correct. And that's not easy, and it's not like I think the Cavs are literally a year away from being, like, sort of competent. It's like a lot of stuff has to work right for that to be the case.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the draft, and also the frustration that comes with the acquiring talent through the draft, I should say, is it is a frustrating process, and also it's a crapshoot where you are gambling on this 19, 20, if you're in Dylan Windler's case, like 32 at this point, year old.
By the time he actually plays in a big game, Cavs Twitter's going to be like, oh, wow, it's our 40-year-old rookie.
Yeah, it's going to be like that Lakers, the guy who played for the Lakers G League / D League team like his entire life and then got the call.
Andre Ingram.
Yes, it's going to be like Andre Ingram from Dylan Windler, like geez Louise, but is a bit of a crapshoot, but also there's no, like, the Cavs are starting to toe their way towards being a stable organization. Kobe Altman is the, still wild to say, first general manager under Dan Gilbert to get an extension. I still think you should have kept Griff. Dan should have swallowed his pride and made it work. They appear for now to have their coach for the foreseeable future in JB Bickerstaff. Granted, they could have kept Ty Lue, but for Ty's health's sake, it was for the best. But, you know, Larry Drew learned to hate basketball, and John Boeheim learned to hate basketball coaching this team. But JB's in good spirits, and JB is... he's got a bit of that Kobe Altman in him where he's, like, overwhelmingly positive about a bad situation to the point where, like, you have to kind of believe what they're selling a little bit. So, yeah, no.
The caveat to all of this is that the Cavs could Cavs at any time.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I...
and if they botch this upcoming draft and take, like, a guy that doesn't fit and doesn't work out, like, that's a problem in its own right.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of, like, the one prospect. Probably
like, if Tyus they take, Maxey. Like, Obi Toppin at two.
Obi Toppin or Tyus Maxey or Tyrese or one of the two. He would be bad, or the other point guard from Kira Lewis would be really bad. Like, Kobe Altman's infatuation with undersized guards and, like, dinosaur big men.
That's also a Dan thing, if you remember the Kay Felder pick.
That's true. Cassius Winston's going to be a great Cavalier, folks.
Look, but okay, but there's a thing. You get that guy in the second round undrafted.
Yeah, but... I'm almost positive.
That's one thing. And the Cavs actually have a need for that kind of guard, you could argue.
Yeah, they do. Cassius Winston is he can shoot three-pointers. He has projected three-point range. He's a solid free-throw shooter. He's good at assist. And he can score, but also is a senior, and he's 6'1". So, I mean, it's like... and he played at Michigan State. He's, like, the perfect package for Dan Gilbert. So,
with the first overall pick?
Dude, I'd quit. Like, straight up. It was, Mark King's last day with Locked On Grizzly. Shout out to Mark. Thank you for all you've done. Like, it would be my last. Like, the draft episode we do would be my last, because I'd just be
sick. We would just walk in it. Yeah, you and me both, buddy.
Yeah.
But there's just going to be some really, I think, interesting questions next year about the infrastructure. And look, you're going to learn more about Colin. You're going to learn more about Darius.
Yeah.
Whether they like I'm actually feeling pretty good about Darius after watching much of his passing.
I mean, yeah, if you look at the small window, Chris, but you also have to think of the big picture here, too, that Darius was putrid his rookie season, and, like, yeah, he should. Those are just the flashes I keep harping about for the longest time about Darius Garland. I hope he can put it together, but from what I've gathered, like, his confidence was more or less shot because of his injury, so maybe he comes back healthy, and this is a good segue into the next segment, but...
but one more thing.
Hopefully it works.
Well, and just one more note on this. Like, if you're the Cavs, you this pick, every decision you make is setting you up to take some kind of step forward. And, look, I don't think the playoffs, you and I both are, think of the opinion that, like, the playoffs are not, like, an interesting discussion to have for them next year. Oh, but if the Cavs are, like...
it's interesting. I can humor stupid people just to hear how insane they are, but I don't think it's realistic.
I don't have time. Evan, I don't have time for that. But if the Cavs had a winning percentage of 29.2 last year, okay?
Yeah.
Pretty bad. I'm not saying they need to get to, like, where the Memphis and stuff like that is sort of kind of to get them into the discussion of, you know, maybe getting into, like, close to playoffs, but you need to take something where it's like you're closer to, like, Wizards or Hornets bad than, like, as bad as they were this year. I think that is the step you're kind of hoping to take.
I would hope maybe, like, the Hawks bad would be a better thing, where the Hawks have, like, a bunch of young, exciting pieces.
But here's the thing. That's The Hawks won 20 games. The Cavs won 19.
I know, but the Hawks also, I feel, have a brighter future. Maybe
because of, but it's because of Trey. Because that's of because of Trey
and
the system.
It's not just Trey, and yes, it is the system. But they have a bunch of other young, fun pieces too. Like Cam Reddish turned out to be really good for what Atlanta got. Kevin Herter is a lot of fun. John Collins is a stud. DeAndre Hunter, I like. I mean, he was kind of disappointed. This entire rookie class, to be honest, outside of like Kevin Porter, Brandon Clark, Zion, and Jaw, has been really underwhelming. But I like DeAndre Hunter too. It's just, I think the Cavs need to like say like, okay, yeah, no, we have a lot of good, fun, young, promising players that we can capitalize on moving forward. Like that's a great thing to have. But I don't know. There's just so many unknown variables at this point. Where like Colin Sexton is the safest bet, and Kevin Porter is my wild card. I'm willing to put the most stock in.
Yeah, and look, I mean, just as a note here for the Cavs, like, they are not that far off from actually having to, have to decide different situations with
well, Collins' extension contracts soon, so that's fun.
Yeah, like, these things are going to come up really soon, and these are not going to be easy decisions, but they're decisions that will impact everything going forward. But, Evan, why don't you tell people about a way they could be more reliable kind of as they're moving forward?
That's
something that could help them be more reliable.
It is our friends at rockauto.com, and that is a beautiful segue. Just, you know, like, everyone at home, if you're listening, like, round of applause for Chris. And even
I was
bigger,
talking for too long, and I need to fix it.
Round of applause for our friends at Rock Auto. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car, truck, or even your SUV. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
And with that, we're going to be right back with more Locked On Cavs. Okay, Evan, so we'll do this quick here. Kevin Love said that he kind of outlined a bunch of needs on Channing Frye's podcast as far as why it's important to go to the bubble. I thought that the stuff he said about the young guys was most notable, but, you know, like, we're looking, I think I'm even more sympathetic now to the potential of, like, the Cavs not being back for such a long time, that's pretty concerning if I'm them, if they can't play until 2021. But, like, I think Kevin being like, I would go to a bubble right now is pretty telling to me.
Oh, it really is telling because Kevin has a lot riding on this upcoming season. I know the cap is going to be lowered because of the ongoing pandemic, but the big prize in next year's free agency class is Giannis Antetokounmpo. But if Giannis signs a supermax contract with the Bucks, I think the floodgates do open and players like Kevin Love will be obtainable and readily available for teams that are looking to make the playoff push. Looking at you, Miami.
And even for a guy like Andre Drummond, yeah, who, like, too. He's a guy that if you think about guys that could cash out if enough teams have money to spend in Giannis at the market, he's a guy that could benefit from that for sure.
No, absolutely. And both are players that can benefit from it. And I don't know if Andre will come back. He, at this point, has befuddled a lot of us. I mean, even Kelsey Russo in her Q&A the other day said, like, oh, I'm surprised Andre said that he's calling himself a free agent, not really firmly committing to the Cavs going forward. Like, we don't really know what's going on there. But Kevin's saying that he's willing to come in and risk injury in silly scrimmages like this. And based on what I've gathered and based on what Woj and Shams have reported, it's just going to be an early training camp for the Cavs in September, which is a good thing, but it's better than nothing. And like Kevin said, it's beneficial for the young guys, and it's also beneficial for JB as well. So it's all good all around.
I think some kind of practices is frankly the most realistic way to do this. It's at least risky. It's you know, the least concerning in terms of potential spread, all that kind of stuff. Like, I really think just getting them in practices, and I know Darius and KPJ, and I think Dylan as well. I mean, Larry has obviously been around because he's the only one who really lives in the market full time because he's a real one. They've been at the facility a little bit. You know, there were some tweets the Cavs had last week with Darius back at the facility and stuff, but that's a really good thing. But I guess we'll kind of see like what this kind of looks like. But again, I think what you said about Kevin, just with all he has in the line, where he's at in his career, like he could get hurt. And like, if Kevin Love has like one more injury, it's just like, you know what I mean? Like what, how do you even trade him at that point during his past injury?
He's already tough to move, but an injury make him immovable at this point.
I'm looking at the sheet for next year, and he's, you know, he's penciled in through 2023 in that last year of the contract. He's going to be making $28.9 million. That same year, the Cavs have a team option for Kevin Porter Jr. that'll pay him $3.2 million. And Colin Sexton will either be on a new contract, he's a restricted free agent heading into that season with currently at a cap hole of like 8.5. So, like, Kevin Love is just like astronomically more expensive than us. Like, Larry Nance will be making $9.6 million in a couple years when Kevin Love will be making 28.9.
The last year of Jetty's contract is not fully guaranteed,
The last year of his contract. Yeah, I can't figure that out. But that last year, his last year of his contract would be the next year of 2023-2024.
Yeah. So speaking of Colin, actually, and speaking of Kevin, I think it's pretty clear at this point that the narrative that everyone thinks that Kevin hates Colin isn't true, because on the same podcast with Channing, Kevin talked about the fact that he's another one of the guys, and his willingness to become a creator and a passer is becoming so much better. Like, I think we should start having this conversation a little bit and maybe just start thinking of a realistic number. And it's a fun thought exercise, and everyone listening, please let us know what you think. But Chris, I'm going to ask you this. What do you think a realistic number is annually for a Colin Sexton extension?
This is putting me on the spot, and I feel this is rude.
I mean, I think he's going to ask for max dollars, and the Cavs might get
him. He's not a max. He's not a max. What he is now is not a max.
He's not, but he's not going to make Lou Will money either. I think 20 to 25 is reasonable.
You're putting me on the spot, but like max is... This is really mean. Him as a max guy is like, I don't... Like, that's really tough.
No,
the only it really like is. That's like really like that is that.
I'm having so like, much you, fun watching you just like think your way through. It's like I broke you.
Yeah, but like the max is gonna be what, like 30 something?
Something about that, right? It's about that price range, yeah. Colin Sexton.
Yeah, if not more. Like, oh my god, dude, I don't even. I'm trying to think of like a recent
Mitchell then.
Yeah, for real. If he's not with Mitchell, just give him the max. But I'm trying to think of like a comparable thing.
Okay. Well,
you know, I'm trying to think of like a similar player in the last couple of years. We'll have to come back to this. I'll make you a deal. People on the Thursday show, when we're going to preview the draft lottery, I will give you like a comp for Colin Sexton's next contract.
Oh, I thought you were going to say as a player. I'm like, Chris Manning's going to do a player comp, everyone. But
no, I hate player
comp. I know you do. That would have been a big thing.
Really
put you on
the... Evan, any final thoughts? We got to get out of here before my brain implodes. Any final thoughts?
Not really. I think Colin Sexton's going to be a very good player. And
do you have a number, or are you just, you know... trolling me?
25 million maybe.
I don't even want to think about this because of like it's still so far away in reality.
Oh no, it is, but it's something we gotta start having a hard conversation about, because a lot of these young guys are gonna start becoming eligible soon, and they're not gonna sign team friendly deals like Jetty did, so let's just get ready.
Or Larry, for that matter, considering the money declined.
That's true.
Larry did do a solid. Yeah, it's you know, if you really think about it, you have Kevin Porter Jr. only has 3 years left of like pure team control.
Yep, and then
he won't be able to rent a car at like a discounted rate by the time he gets his next contract.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm gonna be 30.
I'm gonna be 30 as well. Oh my god, I got like a pit in my stomach when he said that.
On that note,
we're old. And
again,
wear a mask.
Reminder. Yeah, reminder though. Thursday. We're going to be live 8:30, a little before likely on Twitch. twitch.tv/lockdowncavs, whichever Magnani talk in the draft.
Got breaking news, folks. Sources confirmed the NBA has canceled all hotel contracts for Indianapolis for February 2021, meaning the All-Star Game is unlikely to happen as originally scheduled. That could have an implication for the Cavs.
That could affect 2022. That's all we're going to say. Yeah. Yep. Which would be a massive bummer. And the argument for the arena gets worse and worse and worse. Anyway, so that is where we're at right now. But come Thursday, 8:30, hang out, talk with us. We'll probably answer some questions. We talk a lot about the draft, react to the lottery live, and we'll cover that on Friday's show as well in case you can't join us then. But we're really excited about live. And if this goes well, I know we're thinking about maybe trying to do one live show a week, every other week, something like that. So please consider joining us. And we'll talk to you then. Evan, send us out.
All right, go Cavs, wear a mask. Colin Sexton is the next Donovan Mitchell.